Hello, fellow humans. My name is Vlad Bunea. Today, I will talk about the degrowth elephant in the room. A very interesting study was recently published in which researchers have assessed the public support for degrowth in the UK and the USA. Participants were asked to raise support for the following economic approaches: degrowth, eco-modernism, eco-socialism, green capitalism, green growth, green market economy, post-growth, well-being economy. In some cases, just the label was posted, and in other cases, a full degrowth proposal was explained and had the degrowth label attached. A full degrowth proposal includes, but is not limited to, the following: high-income countries would scale down harmful and non-essential production and consumption to help achieve ecological goals. Well-being would be improved by ensuring universal access to public services and affordable housing and gainful employment and living wages. Control over the economy, production, resource use, and public services would be progressively democratized. Countries in the global south, which are the developing economies of Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, would be liberated from patterns of appropriation and enabled to achieve human development, and improvements in technological efficiency would be pursued alongside sufficiency principles. In the first study, participants rated their support for the full degrowth proposal without any label and for 8 economic approaches presented by label only on a 7-point scale, 1 equals strongly oppose and 7 equals strongly support. And these are the results. Degrowth being such an unusual word for first-time listeners, scores 28% support with just its label and no explanations, compared to 58% for eco-socialism, 73% for the well-being economy, or 64% for green capitalism. That seems pretty bad at first impression, no? However, the same people gave 82% in the UK and 72% in the USA support for the degrowth proposal, but without knowing the word degrowth. This is becoming interesting. In the second study, which was more systematic, when the degrowth proposal was explained, the support for it jumped to 74% in the UK, 68% in the USA, and when the well-being economy label was attached to degrowth, it went even higher to 84% in the UK and 72% in the USA. And now, the elephant in the room. Why does the idea of well-being economy score so high in support at 81% in the UK compared to 26% for degrowth when we just present their labels without any explanation? Because, of course, people associate the word well-being with something good, while degrowth with something probably not good. And I say probably because degrowth is not the same with the word decrease, and it is an unusual word. We have seen what degrowth is actually about. Just like when a new concept enters the public vocabulary, like radio or personal computer or smartphone, needs time to mature, degrowth is in its late adolescence. The well-being economy label, while it sounds better at the first glance, when it is unpacked, it talks about almost the same things as degrowth. However, not without its own risks. What risks? That of being co-opted and used by capitalism to keep business as usual. What is business as usual? It is maintaining the capitalist mode of production, the separation of classes between employers and employees, the accumulation of unlimited wealth by the owners of capital, the continuation of consumerism, and so on. It is, in the end, a question of packaging. An honest, no BS package from degrowth, and you know from the get-go what you are going to get. And a friendly package from concepts such as well-being economics or green growth, and you may also be getting good stuff inside the package if you get the package from the right people. There's more to the degrowth elephant. Here in Canada, the culture of social politeness and non-conflict is so deeply ingrained that saying publicly degrowth or anti-capitalism is frowned upon. I get people telling me one-on-one in private, I support degrowth, But how do you convince others? But they are actually thinking, I would never give up my wealth or property, and I won't say this to your face. A top environmental podcast producer said to my face recently, degrowth makes sense, but you cannot say that to people. It sounds too negative. They think you are taking something from them. To which I would reply, yeah, but I just said it to you and you agree with it. That means in reality people are dishonest about their true motives and they actually don't agree with degrowth because they don't want to give up power, wealth or privilege. And these are people who know what degrowth is about. Somehow related to this, in Switzerland on November 30th, citizens rejected a proposed 50% tax on inherited fortunes of 50 million Swiss francs, roughly $62 million or more, with 78% of votes against the plan. Critics of the initiative said it could trigger an exodus of wealthy people from Switzerland, reducing overall tax revenues. This is an example of how ignorance and hidden motives distort what people say about what they believe versus what they actually believe. The Swiss experiment shares a lot with the degrowth elephant. If people were told how a tax on the rich would not force them out of the country necessarily, and if it did, the wealth of the rich can also be taxed if they attempt to run away with it, then they may have voted differently. With degrowth, when we explain to people in detail what it is about, we immediately get overwhelming support for it. To take things even further and remain super frank, of course degrowth will take away all the wealth and all the power from the super rich. My personal definition of super rich is anyone with net wealth over $5 million or more. There are several ways in which this can be done. A generic wealth tax, a maximum limit on wealth, nationalization without compensation of certain industries, such as energy and transportation, or a wealth tax in kind, in which the super rich do not pay tax in cash, but rather with a percentage of their stock portfolio. And when degrowth talks about the democratization of the economy, this would mean in practice the end of the capital's mode of production, the end of the employer versus employee separation in classes. Managers will be hired and fired by the employees of the corporation. When degrowth talks about the liberation of the global south from patterns of appropriation, that means multinational corporations will no longer have access to cheap labor, cheap land, and cheap resources in the global south. This will be a massive disruption for the global north way of life based on brutal exploitation of over more than 4.3 billion people who live with less than $10 a day. And at the same time, it will mean unprecedented liberation of billions of people. I think we must end the privilege for a tiny minority of humans in order to achieve this liberation. When we talk about the degrowth elephant in the room and we start putting numbers on it, then we realize that the vast majority of people everywhere on this planet will be much better off if degrowth was implemented. The super rich will have to give up their lifestyles and power, but they don't want to do it. High-income households in the UK recorded a massive drop in willingness to contribute via taxes to solving global problems. Oh, really? So we can finally give up on the myth that the super rich are going to help. We have no choice but to make them. The super rich must be expropriated out of existence if we want to survive. There's no middle way here, because a lifestyle that is advocated by degrowth is a beautiful and pleasant lifestyle, very different from what is advertised now under capitalism. The degrowth lifestyle is in harmony with nature. It creates more free time for everyone to use how they please, requires production of only what is necessary, stimulates innovation for stuff that does not wreck the planet. To get affordable housing, a 20-hour work week, free transportation, the end of fossil fuels, and all the good stuff, we can no longer afford the super rich. So regardless of which economic package you prefer, degrowth, green growth, eco-socialism, The bottom line is that our survival depends on taking away the wealth and power from those responsible for causing the crisis in the first place. Myself, I prefer a package that says plainly what's inside, instead of a friendly package that may hide a booby trap. The magazine that we launched is called the Sufficiency and Wellbeing Magazine, and it is actually a magazine about degrowth, because I do not want to allow capitalism to steal a nice word such as well-being, so it can continue to sell me Christmas decorations in November or a new smart TV when my old one works just fine. Thank you for supporting my research on Patreon and Ko-fi. If you enjoy this video, please click the like and the subscribe buttons and comment something below like your favorite Greta Thunberg quote. YouTube needs that to show me to other people. Let us replace capitalism with an economy for life. Increase the peace.